Good morning, Emmanuel, and a very warm welcome to you all, and to anyone who visits us for the first time, and also those listening to us on the Tate Ministry at home during the week. Please make yourself known to us, to any of our elders after the service, and by signing the visitors book located in the church porch. Our service this morning is being led by the Reverend Rach Collins from Bathrobe Methodist Church. Thank you, Rach. And we look forward to listening to your message this morning. Mark and Robert is at the Christ Church and St Mary's this morning. And our reader today is Pam Western. And the reading is from Joshua chapter 3. And our prayers of intercession will be led by Wally Knight. There are no extra notices except those listed in the weekly news, but I must stress that the tea service for this afternoon has been postponed till next Sunday, the 26th of November. On the left-hand side, on your right-hand side, is the Romanian Harvest Festival layout, which I think it looks very, very nice. And very impressive, to tell you the truth. I've also been given, left on the rostrum here, the Swindon Operatic Collective presents Puccini's La Bohème on Sunday, the 10th of December, 23, at St Mark's Church in Church Place. Doors open at 2 o'clock and 2:30. The run time for 2.5 hours, and the ticket prices are £8. For adults, under 16s, £5, and £3 for students. But obviously, there's one of them lying around somewhere. I will now light Christ's candle and the peace candle, after which we will have a moment's reflection before the start of the day's service. Thank you.
Good morning. This is one of my favourite prayers, or maybe the one I need to pray most often anyway. Interrupt my day, God, Bring people into my line of vision who need my help. Bring to my attention where you are at work. Bring me to a standstill. Stop me in the street, God. Let nothing be more important than your agenda. Let me hear the crackle of your spirit moving like electricity. Let me be a conductor of your power in the world. Amen. We're going to join together to sing our first hymn, which is number 32 in Rejoice and Sing. God is in his temple, number 32. I'm a big fan of using everyday objects to help us pray. And in my backpack, maybe this side, I have got, technically it's a spork. It's from my camping backpack because it's a spoon, a fork and a knife all in one. But we're going to use the spoon part of it for our prayers. So any teaspoon will work. And I wonder what else you use your teaspoons for. Maybe it's when you're, like me, need sugar in your coffee and you need to stir it in. Maybe you're all sweet enough and that's not how you use a teaspoon. There's a bit of a debate in my household whether you use a teaspoon or a dessert spoon for ice cream. You know that point when you get married and you find out that not everybody agrees with how you do things? I'm a dessert spoon for ice cream, but some people are teaspoons, and my husband's family are teaspoons for ice cream. So maybe if, when you're eating your ice cream, you use your teaspoon, you can remind you of this then too. We better now, we're not ringing. Yeah, well, and how much ice cream you want in any mouthful, doesn't it? So yeah, So yeah, these are our teaspoons, and we're going to use them to do some prayers. Now, you might be three steps ahead of me, and we're only going to do two letters of a teaspoon, but you get in a recipe when you're baking something, and I'm not a baker. Every time I see this, I have to be like, that definitely means teaspoon, not dessert spoon, doesn't it? But a teaspoon is a TSP, I am reminded. Good, you're all nodding. I'm doing right. So we're going to do our T and our S prayers now, and later in the service, Wally's going to lead us in our P prayers. But maybe next time you're stirring something with a teaspoon, you can be reminded that we can use these to do our thank you prayers, our sorry prayers, and our please prayers. TSP. Good, I've got a nod on the back from Wally. He does know that what he's praying later. That's all good. So I thought we'd start with our thank you prayers. And I wondered what you are thankful for today. Family, that's a good thing to be thankful for. What else are we thankful for today? It's dry. The fact it's not raining, we are thankful for today. Yes.
Worship,
that's a good thing to be thankful for. A warm house, yes. Wally.
Nice food and drink.
Friends. Oh, yeah.
More friends.
Oh, doing well, yes. Surviving a fall. Yeah, oh, that is a good thing to be thankful for. Yes. Any more for any more?
A warm church.
A warm church, yes. I assume you've heard that Bath Road currently has, our heating system has been condemned. And so I'm very glad to be in a warm church today. They are, Bath Road are worshipping downstairs and have got some portable heaters, so it's not cold, but we aren't in our worship space. Yes, so yeah, always lovely to be in a warm church.
Christian fellowship.
Great.
Still being here
at your age. Nice. I think there was someone else at the same time there.
Breathing,
was that? Yes. Absolutely. Lovely. Right. Let's pray. Loving God, Creator God, we are thankful for the world that you have made, the people that we get to love in our families and our friends. We thank you for our lives, for the air that we breathe, the days that we count. We thank you for the weather, that it always gives us something to talk about. That today it is dry and that we have made it here. That we can come here in this warm church and worship you. For all of the other things that we've said and thought of, for the many blessings that we have, we thank you, God. And as we come before an incredible God, we realize the things that we need to say sorry for. The moments that we have done the wrong thing. And the times when we have not stood up and said the right thing. When our actions have made us not look like the people that we want to be. The people that you call us to be. Loving God, in your mercy, forgive us and save us and bring us back to you and guide us and lead us so that our footsteps may walk your way. May we know ourselves forgiven and free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So later, Wally, you get to do the P prayers for us. Thank you. We're going to sing our next hymn now. This is number 547. We think this might be slightly unfamiliar, or it might have been a while since you last sung this one. So the choir are going to lead us in verse 1. I assume the chorus as well. Yes, verse 1 and the chorus first, and then we'll join in at the top again. So we'll do, they'll sing verse 1 and the chorus, then we'll start again with verse 1, and we'll all join in at that point. You're nodding, so you've got it. Let's sing. Having sung that hymn, that we're going to talk about Moses today. Maybe the Exodus, the time in the wilderness. But actually, it's the next part of the story we're going to hear. We kind of used that as a background check to know where the story was up to. The people of God have been in the wilderness for 40 years. A whole generation have died, including Moses, and Joshua is their new leader. And we're going to hear about them crossing the waters to get to the promised land. Let's hear from Joshua 3. Thank you.
The Old Testament is from Joshua, chapter 3, page 201. Early in the morning, Joshua rose and set out from Sittim with all the Israelites, and they came to the Jordan. They camped there before crossing over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through to the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place. Follow it, so that you may know the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, a distance of about 2,000 cubits. Do not come any nearer to it." Then Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonderful things amongst you." To the priests, Joshua said, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on in front of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went in front of the people. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Joshua then said to the Israelites, "Draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joseph said, "By this you will know that among you is the living God, who without fail would drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now, select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the souls of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rests in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap, far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. While those flowing towards the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho, while all Israel were crossing over on dry ground. The priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
The choir will now sing the anthem, which is the Gloria from Vivaldi's Gloria. Thank you. Have you ever been on a pilgrimage? Have you ever been on a pilgrimage?
No.
Some yeses and some noes, that's very fair. Nice and easy question, that one. There are certainly a particular type of breakaway, aren't they? Not a holiday, by any means. I wonder if you've been to one of those holy places. Have you walked in Jesus' footsteps? In the place that we often call the Holy Land. Yet now we hear day by day in our news of all the horrific things that are happening there that's nowhere near peaceful. Have you been to one of those thin places? Closer to home, maybe. Often near the sea or on an island. I've been to both Iona and Lindisfarne. But sometimes it's just a moment, isn't it? It doesn't quite need the journey in the same way. I was once running somewhere between a meeting and a discussion, and maybe a prayer group, that kind of group, in the orchard at Cliff College. There were tea lights in jam jars. It was that kind of feel. And it was holy and special and thin and godly and beautiful. Have you ever been on one of those? Have you ever met God in a moment like that? In 2016, I was made redundant. I'd been married for about 18 months, and we had a mortgage, and I was the main breadwinner. It was not an easy time. So I booked to go on a pilgrimage to Lindisfarne. Mostly as a challenge to see if I could walk the 30 miles across 3 days. It turned out I could, but it was hard going. But also to reconnect to God, who I needed to hold on to because life was tough. Thankfully, by the time I went on the pilgrimage, I'd been interviewed for a new job that would start in the September. So actually that August walk was a chance to reflect on the old and look forward to the new. I found each step a prayer. Some of the please prayers of, please don't let these blisters get worse. But also, guide me, lead me, show me the way, God. It wasn't an easy walk. My bag, which I brought with me today, was slightly too heavy. My shoes were slightly too new. And I'd done some practice walks, but it's never quite the same when you're walking along a canal 2 or 3 miles from home to when you're walking along the sides of the cliff faces and the beaches and across the pilgrim's path to Lindisfarne. I wasn't really prepared, let's say that. But in those days, God and my fellow pilgrims had amazing things in store for me. Both the journey and the end point were significant. As with the other 11 women that I journeyed with. I'd met a few of them before. I'd gone with my friend Ali, who was my roommate for the trip. But most of them were women I had never met, and some I've never seen again. But together we journeyed. The people we journey with are important, aren't they? I wonder what you are carrying with you today. What would be in your backpack if you this morning? What love and loss and pain and joy are with you this morning? We forget sometimes, don't we? We think we put on our Sunday best and life is rosy. We can pretend that all the things in the last week haven't happened. Sometimes we do come to church as a pick-me-up, expecting that afterwards we'll be more cheery. And I don't want you to give up on that hope. I do want to give you hope. And I hope that church is a place of joy. But also we carry all sorts of things with us and come to a God who helps us to bear them, but doesn't make everything go away. I don't think we'd really want God to take away all the pain of the world. Some of it, yes, but not necessarily all of it. 4 weeks ago today, my godmother, my beloved aunt, died. I was ever so grateful to not be preaching that morning. But 1 week later, I preached at Robborne Methodist Church, where I'm also the minister, one of my others. And before the service started, I decided that I needed to tell people that I was grieving. Not because I wanted the sympathy, and that is indeed the last thing that I wanted that morning or this morning. I know that they are sorry. And yes, it is sad. Thank you. But the grief I was carrying within me is mine to carry. I don't want to not be sad because it is sad. My life is changed both because of who she was and because she is gone. I told my congregation at Robborne because that was the thing that I was carrying that day that I had to carry, that I couldn't leave at the door, that I wouldn't have wanted to. But it was that reminder to me that I don't know what's going on in your lives, in their lives. But that we bring all that we are to worship, the things that we carry. And it's just one more step along our faith and life journeys. So I wonder, what is heavy in your backpack? What is holding you back that you do need to let go of? What is yours to carry despite of its heaviness? And what of that can you share out with others? While I was walking to Linda's farm, we got to the point where my bag was too heavy for me. And to enable everybody to walk faster, I was invited to share some of the things out of my bag into their bags. It was an incredibly moving moment to see people take on more weight, take on my weight, so that together we could walk more easily. I think it was a lesson to all of us. Sometimes we have to share what we're carrying, don't we? Someone sent me an image on WhatsApp recently. Technically, I think it's a poem. It's by Topher Kirby, and this is how it goes. Love asks, can I help you carry that today? Not because you can't carry it on your own, but because you don't have to. I'll read that again. Love asks, can I help you carry that today? Not because you can't carry it on your own, but because you don't have to. It's important that we carry the important things. It's also important that we leave what isn't ours to carry. One of my favourite hymns is God's Spirit is in My Heart. And it has the line, don't carry a load on your back. You don't need two shirts on your back. No, don't carry a load in your pack. You don't need two shirts on your back. That makes more sense. So it's important to carry the things that are important. It's important to not carry the things that aren't ours to carry. And there are things in life that people try to give us that aren't ours to carry. But most of all, it's important that we share the load where we can. For in sharing it, we can make everyone's walk slightly easier. Then the other side of this is what we're focused on. When we're walking on a pilgrimage, there's an end point. What are we looking for? What are we focused on? The prayer from the beginning of the service, interrupt my day, God, is a prayer that I come back to often because I'm so often too focused on the wrong things, making sure that I've done all the right things and not focused on what God actually needs from me. Interrupt my day, God, is my prayer more often, or actually it probably should be my prayer even more often than it is. But I come back to it over and over again. Interrupt my day, God. Bring people into my line of vision who need my help. Bring to my attention where you are at work. Bring me to a standstill. Stop me in the street, God. Let nothing be more important than your agenda. Let me hear the crackle of your spirit, moving like electricity. Let me be a conductor of your power in the world. What is God's agenda for you? As individuals, as a community, for us as a partnership of churches? What is God's agenda? What we carry with us, or what we put our attention to, both shows our priorities. Together we journey in church, and I mean both in worship and in fellowship. We journey together to learn more of God and of each other, to walk alongside one another, and share our lives and stories together. So pilgrimages are about the journey and the destination. And they are about what we carry, what we focus on, and the people we journey with. Now I reckon you might be wondering, or thinking, that's all well and good, Rach. But what's that got to do with Joshua? We had a whole chapter of Joshua, and you've just rambled on, meandered on, about pilgrimage. And I must admit, I have taken the meandering route to get to this point. Joshua and the people of God have been journeying for a long time and gone a long way round, and suddenly they are very nearly there. They just need to cross the Jordan. They would have heard the stories of the waters being parted as their forefathers escaped from slavery in Egypt. They know what they have to carry. The Ark of the Covenant is that most important thing they have to take with them. And they are told what they have to do. They have to get their feet wet. They have to get their feet wet. Nowhere in that passage does God say, "I will clear all the waters out of your way and then you can walk in them." Both Joshua and the priests are told to dip your feet into the water, and there, then, God will clear the way. You have to get your feet wet. I absolutely love the seaside. In summer, I will happily go paddling. I love it. But in winter, my favourite is to play chicken with the sea. Do you know how to play chicken with the sea? Some of you are nodding. Good. This is how I play chicken with the sea. You stand there and you see if you need to step back before the sea wrecks your trainers, or if the sea itself is going to pull back and you win that point. It's normally about 50-50. It's not a game that either me or the sea wins normally. But I do normally come home with dry trainers, so we're okay. Joshua and the priests here don't play chicken with the Jordan River. He has to step out in faith, and only then does God pull back the waters to let them cross. It's not that the whole way has to be cleared, but Joshua needs to step out, and then it is. He has to step out believing that God will clear the way. We too are called to have wet feet on our pilgrimages, to step into the unknown, to take what we often call as a step of faith. But sometimes we feel like we've only got the doubts in this situation. So maybe it's a step of doubt, or a step despite our doubts anyway. This is certainly one of my sermons where I've meandered around a load of ideas and hopefully given you something to think about. You may already have your own questions to ponder, but if not, here's your homework. What are you carrying? What is God calling you to step out and get your feet wet? Where is God? That makes more sense. Where is God calling you to step out and get your feet wet? And who is it that you journey with? May we go with the one who walked on earth. May he guide our footsteps into all the pilgrimage places. Amen. We're going to sing our next hymn in a moment, number 474. I was thinking of verse 2. We are pilgrims on a journey and companions on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. Let's join together for Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You.
prayers of intercession for today. Dear Lord, may we begin by thanking you for our Old Town partnership, soon to enter its 55th year. We pray for unity, cooperation, and strength in our mission to the residents of Old Town. Turning to the wider world, the need for peace is as strong as it ever was. We pray for your Son, the Prince of Peace, to guide us in all we say and do, and for all those in positions of power and responsibility to turn to you first in order to make the right decisions that will bring peace between countries and groups and races, and of course for us to live peaceably with our own families, neighbours, and with all those whom we meet. We keep hearing of extreme types of weather. Let us do what we can to look after this beautiful world and not to exacerbate climate change. May we also each do our bit to reduce, reuse, and recycle. We pray now for all those we know who are suffering mentally or physically, as well as people going through difficulties like loneliness, separation, or homelessness. We think of them now, not forgetting Bob and Francis Ellis, Maria Kawonga, Michael Dowling, and Pete Howarth, and others. And now we give you our thanks for all those who care for others in any way and those who strive to make this a better world. And we pause to thank you for our own blessings. Let us never forget that you are present in the midst of all the chaos that surrounds us. Thank you for listening to us, and we now continue our service with the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We now take up our offering for the work of God in this church and area. Thank you. Loving God, as you guide us and lead us, help us more to turn to you. Use these gifts as you use our lives to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to share together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. I'm hoping you've all got sight of the communion service sheet. If not, during this hymn is the time to make sure you've got one. So we're going to sing our next hymn as we prepare for communion, number 456, O Bread to Pilgrim Given, 456. We're all going to need our communion sheets. I'm just going to check this is what how you're expecting communion to work. And if not, this is how we're doing it anyway, I think, is where we're at. So we'll go through the communion liturgy. The bread will be brought round and we'll all hold it and eat it at the same time. Yes? Good. And then the same will happen with the wine. The wine will be brought round and then we'll all drink it at the same time. Yes. Great. I've got confident yeses from right behind me. That's always helpful. That's probably anything anybody needs to know, isn't it? Great. Good. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came and met us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we may live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all of us the perfect sacrifice of sin. On the night that he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise, and lift our voices to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and the blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink, in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. the bread of life given for us. Amen. Poured out for us. Amen. We pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We come now to our final hymn, number 345. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Number 345. May the God who walked on earth guide our footsteps this day and always. Amen.